Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here with Sin City Steve and Rob Bossolari on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. And officially, Monday nights will be the new night. So much going on, with the weekends, and perfect timing to do it on Monday nights after Raw. So with that said, let's get into... right off the bat, Dynasty happened this Sunday night.
AEW. You used a perfect video, the picture, because it looked like it happened so long ago and took for so long.
Well, I'll tell you, this is that was me last night during the show. All right, let's start right in with this main event. You had Swerve and Moxley. You had WCW 2000 finishing going on. You had these assholes returning to a stunned audience. This person here, Jay McLean Craig, said the fans sitting in the crowd for 5+ hours, exhausted but excited to see Swerve win the title from Moxley, only to have the fucking Young Bucks literal ratings repellent appear and cost them the match. Has to be the most infuriating feeling, but it's also right out of the McMahon playbook. Now, Tony, on the other hand, was asked if he considered calling an audible on his Death Rider storyline tonight and whether he will take fan reaction after the show into consideration. Tony Khan says he does take negative fan reaction online, like tonight, into consideration. He understands Swerve was the bigger fan favorite and that a lot of people were hoping for him to win. On the other hand, Tony believes Jon Moxley is one of the most important figures in the history of the company. He feels they've created a lot of intrigue by bringing back two other important figures in the company history, the Young Bucks, in this way. He feels their actions tonight, spoiling the World Championship match, are consistent with their unsavory characters. Tony understands fans didn't like this moment, but the Bucks' interface tonight will not make fans love Swerve any less. But they did create a lot of intrigue heading into Dynamite this Wednesday. He also points out that while fans love Swerve, Jon Moxley as world champion has been great for business, recently bringing AEW Dynamite ratings to a 5-month high, the highest they have been since November. Okay, let's unpack that bullshit right there.
You see how I've turned into this ghastly figure of myself? I've been ghosted so many times by the Khan family. You know, this is...
It looks like you're living in Shad's mustache.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. That's why I turn my camera on and off. Hold on. No, fuck it. You know what? We never get what we want, right?
Nope.
And
sometimes you get what you need.
Did we get what we need? I mean, or if you go up 2 points in the ratings, is that going up?
I mean, technically, yes. Technically. Numbers don't lie. But in all seriousness, I think that, positioning Moxley is the reason why the ratings are starting to rebound for AEW. I have a bit of a problem with that and kind of giving him the credit for that. They've been telling better stories up and down the card over the last month and a half. We've talked about it on this show. And I think that they're finally starting to see some of their audience come back that had left them for one reason or another. Are they where they need to be or want to be? No, but the network is happy. And They are seeing an increase in momentum. So all of those things are a good thing. But yeah, the Young Bucks showing up at the end of the show last night, literally, I had go away heat for that shit. It was a 5.5 hour fucking pay-per-view. And to see Moxley win the match because of outside interference from the Young Bucks. Oh, fuck. Are you serious? If nothing else, this could lead to, they always do an Anarchy in the Arena match at Double or Nothing. So I believe that we're probably going to get some sort of a Death Riders and the Young Bucks team up against Swerve and who's his backup?
It looks like Joe and Hook and
that's one angle that they could go down. Another angle that they could go with is something that was interesting that was shared on Swerve's social media today. And it showed him with the big old lump on the side of his head. And he was shaking hands with none other than MVP. So take that however you will. Could we possibly see some sort of a five-man team of the Death Riders and the Young Bucks, along with the Ops and, let's say, Swerve and maybe Shelton Benjamin or Bobby Lashley or both?
Here's the problem, though. And this is what pisses me off more than anything. It was a Dynamite last night. It was a 5.5 hour Dynamite with matches that took way longer than they should have. You put on Mercedes, and we'll get to the card in a second. But anyway, we'll get to that in a second. But with this, it was a WCW finish. And then you turn out the lights.
Oh, yeah.
And for 1 second, I'm like, ooh, maybe a surprise? Someone no one would have thought of? Something, those motherfuckers? Fuck this shit. Second of all, how stupid are the AEW fans to think that Swerve would have actually won the title?
It's a simple concept. Every time that somebody faces Jon Moxley alone, right out of the get-go, you go, you're not going to win. You're going to talk a big game. He's going to get angry, which, why would he even get angry at this point when somebody challenges him? He's going to gangbang his opponent. He gets so worked up. Well, he does. He brings out like 90 people to beat one guy.
Yeah.
Why would he even get angry? I wouldn't even show up. I'd just go, hey, you know, you're not going to win. I'm going to bring in like 90 people to beat the shit out of you, and then I'm going to bang Renee and go to bed, all right? So just, you know what? Let's make these matches 5 minutes long.
Was that Trumply?
Trumply.
John Trumply.
The hardcore president?
Listen here, you know, I made the fucking country great again. And you little shits aren't getting anywhere near the presidency ever again.
Oh, my God. But, you know, the thing that really just, again, it was so long just ending up for that. And once again, they did the same thing, right? They did it with what's his face, who just won the opportunity with Hobbs. Hobbs won that, you know, that Royal or whatever. We're going to face Moxley, lose. Swerve, 3 weeks, can't even go in the ring because he's got the punctured eardrum, wrestles the mat to lose. It's like, this is stupid. Why are we setting up number one contenders if they're just going to, in 3 weeks, go and lose the match? It's like, give complexity to the storyline. Give it time. Let Moxley defeat other people while you're sitting there going, hey, I'm the number one contender, you know, and cash in at the right time. But we know he's going to lose because of the way this is laid out.
You said before we started, this like WWE 2016. If I recall back then, it was Brock Lesnar shows up once a month on a regular show.
With the belt, you could actually see the belt. He didn't have
with the belt. And then Paul Heyman would go, my client! He shows up, maybe he teams, maybe he doesn't with somebody. Then he wins, and then you don't see him for a month and a half.
Right.
So the only thing, you know,
the downside is we have to see Moxley.
And he's not entertaining.
Yeah, not anymore. TV, I'd be fine.
Now, if Moxley sounded like I did, John Trumpley, that would be way the fuck more entertaining, you know?
It would.
We're putting a tariff every time that one of these guys, they come out with the belt, they come out with a fake belt that they bought from the shop AEW. We're going to charge them 50% for wearing my belt. So it's going to be 50% every time they wear my belt. And I think that's very kind.
All right. So let's talk about this here. This was a great reaction from Tony Storm, who, you know, wins the match. It was a good win, but Bully Ray didn't hold back when giving his opinion on AEW's Megan Bain, starting off by saying, listen, Megan Bain is still green, okay? He acknowledged, despite how long she's been training, this is her first real exposure on a major wrestling company. Reflecting on his own journey, he added, at one point or another, we're all still green. No matter how long we've been in the wrestling, I've been in the business for 6 years before I stepped in foot in ECW television. I was green as grass, because my experience in the business wasn't that much. Comparing that experience to Bain, he emphasized, same thing with Megan, she's extremely green. But despite her inexperience, Bully was quick to point out her star potential, saying, but I'll be damned if Megan Bain doesn't have that it factor. He praised her presence and look, stating the girl looks like a freaking Amazon. She looks amazing. She looks like she could be a champion. In fact, Bully Ray went as far to suggest that AEW could shake things up, saying, I would have no problem with them switching that championship up and having Tony re-chase. While he sees Bane as still developing, Bully is clearly confident in her future as a top-tier star, source busted open radio. So, 100%. And again, this is a timing thing. Why? Why so quick to do exactly the same three? 3 weeks buildup just to have her lose. And Toni Storm looks literally weak because she barely beat her. You know? So you're kind of you're killing two birds with one stone, unfortunately.
Here's my question to you. Because I always get this wrong, and you often know something I don't. We don't have Hikaru Shida. We don't have Britt Baker. We don't have Nyla Rose. We have the pillars of AEW women's wrestling not around in the scene where they would be able to feud with her properly. Are we to believe that all, and maybe it is, that all three of these women are injured?
No.
Okay.
They're not injured.
Exactly. I was being facetious. In other words, so you have these three women who have all had equal storylines, even with Hikaru Shida, who doesn't have strong English, can still string together a good storyline, and we can't incorporate any of these women in any capacity?
Well, again, Britt's not with the company anymore. That's pretty done. Shida, yeah, I mean, you could. But you have a number of other women. This is the problem. Everyone always just honking on the AEW fans go, oh, we have the best women's division. We have the best women's division. It's just what they put out there. I'm serious. I'm just what I see constantly about how this is such great. And they'll put pictures of all these women, and I can't identify half of them because a lot of them are just used like an ROH, and they're just there because they're independent wrestlers, right? For instance, Viva Van, right? Great independent wrestler, but you never see her on TV. Right. Have Tony, wrestle someone like Statlander, let's say, or someone more established, while Megan Bain is wrestling up the tree like Princess Amidala. You know, have that be the buildup so that Megan Bain, when she gets to Toni Storm, it should be Clubber Lang versus Rocky.
Right.
It literally, she wore the fucking Rocky outfit, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing. It's like that buildup would have been great if I would have gotten that buildup for 6 months. And then Megan Bain fucking beat her. And now Tony has to chase. Yeah. That's what Bully is saying.
Yeah.
And that's what gets me frustrated.
I think the thing that really kind of stands out is, you know, even when it was announced that she was going to be the challenger, I was on this show questioning that very logic because it didn't make sense. She is too new. I will say this, and you know, credit has to be given where it's due. They typically don't build up people in a short amount of time. They did a good job with the build with Megan Bain. I would have liked to have seen that build be longer, but they had her coming out and just squashing everybody in the women's division. They put her over extremely strong. And even if you look at the way that the match ended, you know, you had the three hip attacks, you had the Storm Zero, and then the kick out at one, which realistically, if I think the Storm Zero is one of the more protected finishers in the women's division. But
there's no doubt the match was done strong. The match itself, right?
Right.
There's no doubt. It's just the logic again. Once again, this was a long Dynamite, essentially. That's what it felt like. That was one of the better matches. What this pay-per-view was missing was that Ospreay cage match. Once again, like I said, should have saved that for this. Yeah. Had Tony in Hollywood, and then she didn't even have to wrestle on this one. You know, start using your logic. All right, so let's throw it in. Okay, so Omega retains. Cole wins a championship in one of the most, I don't know, like under-fulfilling moments. It just wasn't there. Bandido wins in one of the stupidest fucking finishes I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
And then the Dex, you know, the FTR turn was pretty, you know, straightforward. We knew that was kind
of
going to happen.
Don't sugarcoat it, Michaels. That was your moment of the show. You love that
great.
Shit.
It was great to see Copeland get his ass handed to him. But you know why I'm pissed? Is for one reason. What has just been happening a little bit away from them? Oh, yeah. Christian got his bitches dumping him. And now we're going to see FTR versus Copeland and Christian because those fucking ego assholes just want their own shit. This is the problem again, you know, with this shit where these.
Oh, wait a minute. That one, by comparison to everything else that they've done, is one of their longer storytelling events. They've been stretching this one out for some time, trying. They didn't rush to put Edge and Christian back together right out of the gate. They gave Christian Cage a belt. They made him a face. They made him a heel. They took it over time.
But they're going against FTR. Why are they not going against guys that could use that potential? You know, we had this, you know, conversation. Copeland is not putting the young guys in a position.
All right. What tag team would you want them to put over? Would you want where it would look believable, where you could sell it? Top
it's
Flight.
Not even put them over. It's work with the fucking Acclaimed.
Keep fair.
Them together and build them. Private Party. These young tag teams. The fucking Gates of Agony. Any of these young guys. But what we're getting is four friends who just want to fucking have a match.
That's exactly what it is.
Fair enough. Fair
that's
enough.
Exactly what it is. And realistically, that's going to happen at All In Texas. So they're going to do that at their big show. So, you know, it is what it is. But I do just want to, you know, kind of go around the horn there with the images. The Kenny Omega and Speedball and Ricochet triple threat, quite frankly, was a 31-minute match that could have been 22. And that was the only beef that I had with that match. That was, realistically speaking, if they would have cut some time off of that match reallocated it, it would have been, you know, a consensus match of the night. Instead, quite frankly, the Tony Storm and Megan Bain match was, in my opinion, the match of the night. Mm-hmm. The Adam Cole title win over Daniel Garcia, the fans were not into it. Adam Cole is, even though he's holding a championship right now, he is at the lowest point as far as being over that I've ever seen him at in any promotion.
Because he has no purpose.
Right.
He's not a face. He's not a heel. He's not liked. There's nobody chanting for him anymore. He changes his tune every other week. He's got a group of guys that may or may not be in his corner. We're not very sure. It was supposed to be a team of five guys. Two of them are gone. The other two, one of them was in another group at the same time, the conglomeration, and then they wrote him out. And he sometimes, Kyle O'Reilly, wrestles better than the other two. It's too confusing. The AEW roster is too jumbled up.
Well, and even within the match, Daniel Garcia didn't know what the fuck he was doing. He didn't know if he was supposed to be the heel or supposed to be the face, because you got those moments where it was like he was pausing on stuff. Yeah. It's like the one thing I tell young wrestlers, the way to convince an audience is that you're going out there to win the match. Even though you already know what the fucking predetermined is, right? So if you're going to be the heel, you fucking just do the heel shit and commit to it, because you're trying to win the match, you know?
Let me ask you a question, and we all saw the same thing, but you're watching the match, and is he confused, or is he reacting to what instructions are being given to him? Because the referee is getting instructions in his earpiece as to what's going to go down. Are we talking old school Vince McMahon, where they're calling the match as it's going?
No.
And calling the spots as it's going? I'm asking.
No, because Tony Khan can't do that. He doesn't know.
Don't they have Jerry Lynn in the back, or somebody who's sitting there going, all right, hit this spot over here. Why are you looking so happy? No, don't react this way. Don't. Because, like,
they don't micromanage
other matches.
Yeah, they don't micromanage in the company. That's one of the things they underproduce.
It's a blessing and a curse. Yeah, right. They have to find the happy medium.
Right. And that's what these guys came up with. The problem is that it's not the match itself. It's that Daniel Garcia has no direction of where he's going, because you were putting this alongside the FTR Copeland shit. And that was just not fucking gelling, because it was awkward. So that's the weird thing, is that you put these two guys in a situation where, you know, Adam Cole is getting less of the fan reaction. Daniel Garcia is getting almost zero reaction, because no one knows what to do for him. And, you know,
they just need to do this for like an hour.
If you gave Yuta Wheeler's beard to Daniel Garcia, then maybe we'd have a character.
I'll tell you the thing with the Adam Cole title win. If nothing else, let's just hope that this allows them to actually kind of do a bit of a reboot on his character and actually allow him to have some sort of a character with this championship. I mean, maybe he renames the show on Saturday to Collision, or, you know, some shit like that. Make that his fucking own show, because he is the TNT champion. That's the show that's on TNT. Typically, that title has been confined to Collision as a result, which, keep in mind, is getting about half of the viewing audience of Dynamite.
Right. And he is also the Team Moose CM Punk. So, I mean, he really is. Oh, he should have a Coke fucking tattoo on his arm. The Bandito shit.
That fucking dusty finish bullshit pissed me off. I'll be real. Like, even Bandito getting the win didn't get the reaction that it would have if he would have just won the match.
The match. Right.
There's no reason. There's no reason other than pure ego for Jericho to actually get the win.
Right.
And then obviously having it overturned. But here's the problem that I have with that, is it sets a really dangerous fucking precedent, because if you're into continuity, like I am, and like a lot of the people that listen to this show are, every single time that there is a weapon shot that a heel does, now are we going to have somebody run a referee down to the ring and say, oh, well, here's what happened. Oh, he used the bat. Oh, restart the match. And if you don't, then what the fuck are we doing here? That was completely unneeded. It was completely overbooked, right. And it was absolute bullshit.
Right. And it also lays in the fact too, first off, McGinnis tried to cover it by saying, you know, hey, there's no replays in wrestling. Okay.
Yeah.
But the problem is that I'll go a step further and say there was no hype to those two characters being there. Meaning if it was something that happened with Bandito's brother, sure, because we just had the whole thing with the mask. There's backstory there. But to just all of a sudden have mom and sister in the front row with no real build, and then to have them interfere. Now, if they're in the front row and Jericho comes over and like one of them slaps him or something like that, cool, right? That's heat. But to have them actually get the ref.
It wasn't even the ref. Aubrey wasn't the referee in the match.
Yeah,
she was a secondary referee.
Right.
And they got her to then talk to Bryce.
Right.
And then that's when they restarted the match. So it was it was a clusterfuck.
Yeah, but here's a bigger question. Does he get a rematch, Jericho? Do you even want to sit through that?
No.
Yeah, you see? That's the thing.
I didn't even want to sit through most of this feud.
Right. Now you're going to have Jericho go, I got screwed. And does he finally just dump the other two?
That's another problem. But he also can't really say he got screwed because he got caught cheating.
Right.
So it's another complex thing.
Rob, I actually see the other two guys leaving him.
I don't doubt it.
After him losing that match, Big Bill wasn't involved in the Hurt Syndicate pin. Right. I genuinely see Big Bill saying, yeah, screw you, Jericho, we're done. And then them leaving him in the lurch.
Yeah.
And I want to get off
Jericho goes away for a couple of months. I could definitely go with that.
I want to see Jericho disappear, come back as a commentator for a little bit because he's entertaining enough to be a once in a while commentator. And then make him a baby face where he actually either helps somebody or he just sits in somebody's corner. But I don't want to see him as a main event guy. He doesn't have the build for it anymore. He doesn't have the stamina. And I don't believe that he can really beat any of these people.
It comes down to one thing, though. Chris is going to do whatever Chris wants to fucking do.
Yeah.
Of course.
No one's coming up with shit for him. He's coming up with his own stuff. But talking about people coming back, Evan Ginsberg made a very good point here. He said, I sometimes say I don't even understand wrestling anymore. File this baby under that category. The Acclaimed at one time were AEW's top tag team. They had a breakup. Caster turns heel. So instead of having a memorable blow-off grudge match on a $50 pay-per-view, they instead have a surprise, utterly disappointing dud of a 30-second unannounced squash on a pre-show. Caster got in literally zero offense. How does that possibly benefit either of these guys? Or the promotion pretty much destroying one of them as any kind of star. And before the WWE soldiers in their imaginary WWE versus AEW war start with the knee jerk, well, AEW sucks. I'm an AEW fan who 365 out of 365 days would buy an AEW ticket before I'd buy a WWE one. I was just disappointed in this absolutely wasted opportunity. And I think that is a valid point. This is the stuff we're seeing that makes no sense.
Yeah. The thing is, you know, the way that it was being done, I mean, you could pretty much pick up on reading the tea leaves of how it was going to go. When Max Caster started doing the open challenge, you knew that it was going to culminate with Anthony Bowens making a return and answering that open challenge. I definitely think that they could have gotten a bit more mileage out of things without a doubt. But I also think that this was the path that they went down and this was the best that they got and that the best that they could have done with the path that they chose to go down with this open challenge gimmick that they've been doing.
What do you see long-term for them? Do you see any return of Billy Gunn, Triples, any of it?
Bro, I'll be honest. the promo that Max Caster cut before the match, the Philly crowd, that fucking "Let's go, Max, you're the best wrestler alive," actually was being chanted by the audience. They had the cadence. They were chanting it. The shit was getting not the reaction that they wanted, but obviously Philly fans are snarky as shit, so they're going to play into it. Sure. So I hope that they get away from the open challenge stuff, all that completely. And realistically, Anthony Bowens looked fucking great in that match. So let's not take anything away from that. His presentation was great. He had new gear. He had new music. He had new effects on the Tron. So they're going to be getting behind him. And I think that that's a great opportunity for Anthony.
But Collins. Can he cut a promo?
Has he ever had a chance? He's never had the chance.
Other than
saying whatever city they're in, the acclaimed has arrived. That's all that he ever said.
Yeah.
So I say bring it on. Give the guy a shot.
And it's Gay Black History Month. And just in case you forgot.
Check those boxes.
Yeah, they always drag them out to do that. And you get that, and then to a degree.
Oh, I thought this was you. Gay Black History Month. I thought you were talking about yourself, just in case you forgot. Hey.
And now you got to play that urban hip hop like a piano theme, and we're here to celebrate the men and women who made. I'm gonna head over to Tropicana afterwards and see how he's doing.
All right. Speaking of seeing how he's doing, this picture here from Prince SZN. Says the irony of this photo is absolutely heartbreaking. It's the photo of Kevin Owens and Randy Orton on the ring apron as Kevin's leaving the ring and Randy is coming into the ring. Kevin Owens, of course, announced his needing neck surgery. This here says, despite knowing he has a neck injury, Kevin Owens still had a ladder match against Cody Rhodes, an unsanctioned match against Sami Zayn, an insane brawl with Randy Orton ending in a table spot. KO is a true warrior. He pushed himself as much as he could to entertain us and deserves all our respect. Get well soon. Denise Salcedo had some more details on his injury. He did an interview with Robbie Fox. Highlights. Kevin Owens believes his injury occurred during two routine matches in January. No hardcore things, nothing. There were two very simple things that I've done a million times. In December 2024, he did a full body MRI. The results show no major issues, just some wear and tear and some mild, moderate spinal stenosis. WWE doctors reviewed that scan and told him everything looked good for someone with his in-ring mileage. But then in January, he had a match, and in the match, two things happened that really jarred my neck. That's when the issues started. Kevin did not reveal which match or what moments he was referring to. I didn't land on my head. I didn't get hurt. Nothing felt wrong at the time. He continued wrestling through the injuries he was dealing with. This week, he had a follow-up MRI revealed significant damage. This is when WWE Medical was informed that he would not be able cleared to wrestle at WrestleMania 41. No timetable for his return. Most of the people that have gone through the similar things, it's probably 6 months to 8 months to a year. So I would assume in that range, but I really don't know. He also shared some frustration that the news of the injury was leaked before he could make the announcement on SmackDown. It's what made me mad about this was you had a very somber Kevin, and you could tell that this really just, you know, bites him on that he can't wrestle at WrestleMania. You have people on the internet who are claiming that this is a work, that he's going to show up and he's just doing this so he doesn't have to wrestle Randy Orton and then he'll interfere at WrestleMania, blah, blah, blah. You had fans, upset that Kevin was unprofessional when he almost was exiting the ramp and then turned around when a fan said something to him, not knowing what the fan said to trigger that reaction. And they cut away to Randy in the ring, so you didn't see the actual interaction. But it again is just so strange that here you have something that is legitimate, and yet the fans are just so fucking full of this delusional world that, you know, it's again, it's like they live in a fantasy in which these guys cannot be hurt. They cannot be human. They're just their characters. And then if they're not their characters and they act irrationally to something someone says, the fan has every right to say whatever they want, even though you don't know what that fan said, to, you know, make them angry. It's just unfucking believable.
There was a jackass who tried to spear Seth Rollins once. He gets arrested and then he goes on his own podcast and laughs. Oh man, I speared Colby, man. Ah, we had this connection now. And I would have loved for someone to have seen that video and throw his ass back in jail, because you obviously did not get it. Yeah. If you're going to be angry, and say what you're going to say, fine, but then go online and bitch about it. There was a guy, there was a time once before CM Punk left WWE, he was in the stands. And fans kept grabbing him and shaking the shit out of him. And finally got tired of it. He just like back elbowed the guy. And it's like, at a certain point, I'm not your friend. I don't know who the hell you are. Like, yeah. I don't know you. Like you got to, if I'm cutting a scene and I'm doing something for effect and you pat me on the back, but then when you start like grabbing me on the neck, getting too physical, it's like, you get what you get. You know? Yeah. It's like what Joker said, you get what you fucking deserve. And that's it. Now, as far as what, you know, him cutting a somber promo, if he could have taken one more, I would have liked to have seen Randy Orton put him in some sort of a pile driver and just storyline him out. And then he comes back and then we don't have to do this. It wasn't the same as Roman Reigns with cancer, but I get it. I get it.
Well, you could. And that's why, you know, that's why it pisses me off the fans. You know, oh, it's just a work, blah, blah, blah. He'll be, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's just not wrestling him at WrestleMania. And this is
nobody
would have been at WrestleMania. Yeah, it would have been a storyline thing. All right. So, Steve, that opens up the door to these things. According to WrestleVotes, Randy Orton's WrestleMania opponent will be Aleister Black. This is a real buzzer, if true. This one also said here, breaking news, major WWE star to return after 60 months and face Randy Orton at WrestleMania 41, which was referring to Rusev. So, Aleister Black, Rusev, are we going to get Steve Austin, Bret Hart coming out of retirement anytime soon, Vince McMahon? Shayna?
Let me tell you, Lana, I've got the genetic grapefruits, the jackhammers right here, ready to go. I just need you to sign on the dotted line that you won't complain afterwards. No, this is going on.
An NDA on the pole match?
Yeah. Oh. And Donald Trump will be the referee. Excuse me, this is going to be the fairest match. It's going to be a match like never seen before, and it's going to be the NDA in a pole match. The first one's to win gets to bang Lana, Miss Perry. I've already banged her once in the Gulf of America on a 50-foot yacht, okay, the biggest yacht. And she said thank you so many times. She said, Donald Putriev, Donald Machka. And she told me to machka her. I machka'd all over her face. And she said, thank you so many times. And then I went to go to the back door and she said, Niet on the back door, Niet on the back door. But we're looking into it. We're looking, can we do it the back door? Is she ready for the back door, CJ? CJ, I'm 6'5", 250 pounds of all American beef. Sirloin, some say. Some say sirloin. Oh. Kobe, American. Thank you.
All right. All right. So, Steve. Is Orton
and I really hear it. I don't watch all the matches in detail. Think catch all.
Does Orton end up wrestling Soraya? Because
you never know, bro. You never know. I mean, Everybody was all up in arms about, you know, AEW signing ex-WWE talents, yet they have no problem with WWE bringing back talents that left and went to other companies, and now they're coming back. Of course,
it is
what it is.
In all fairness, WWE did not come out and say, we're not going to not hire everyone from AEW who gets released, like some owners of the other company did. So,
yeah,
apples, oranges.
And even if they did, somebody would find an excuse. Oh, different ownership group, you know, different management group.
I just hope they bring Brody Lee back.
Oh, my.
All right. So something else, of course, happened. And that was Charlotte Flair absolutely bombed last night, according to this report. I thought the segment with Flair and Stratton was absolutely awesome. In their last awkward interview, it seemed like Flair went into business for herself, made Stratton look incredibly weak by comparison. This time, Stratton made sure that didn't happen. Stratton gave Flair the exact same level of respect she received, mocking her and interrupting her promo. She absolutely outshined Flair, who looked frustrated and struggled to string a coherent sentence together. Flair repeated the same lines we've heard from her 1,000 times. Meanwhile, Stratton roasted her personal life, which caused Flair to completely lose it and start doing a Mickey Mouse voice, apparently because Stratton is squeaky. What was that? Then Flair threw out a desperate, cringeworthy line about Kaiser being in her DMs. It honestly felt like the segment turned into a shoot. Regardless, this was a huge moment for Stratton, proving she can hold her own with the mic when things get real. Stratton looked fantastic here, and I haven't seen Flair come across this week in a promo since her awkward exchanges with Becky Lynch. Of course, she attacked the fact that Flair was 0-3 in marriages, which apparently WWE edited out.
Yeah. There are some things you can't say. That's one of them, I guess.
So that's a great fucking line. Jesus.
Well, and you know, again, this is, and then she got the fuck out of there quickly, just in case, almost protecting herself. Yep. In case.
That's why Kaiser's in my DMs.
No, the fuck he's not. And then fuck he's not.
Yeah. Hold on. I can bang Stephanie Stratton or I could bang me with long hair. No. We're going to take Tiffany Stratton.
Shit.
I've seen some people walking down the street like Flair, except they've got the full cock and balls going on, but the faces are identical. All right. All she needs is to strap on Adam's apple and you're good to go. I mean, that's, you know, she does well for a girl with no hips and a six pack abs and, you know, dressing up like her ex-husband.
Right.
I mean, yeah. You know, it's fascinating because, you know, everyone was complaining over the last 2 weeks or so. Oh, they haven't announced on the matches, and oh, there's this and that, and blah blah blah, and oh god, Charlotte won the fucking Rumble. Oh, I gotta see her. Blah blah blah. And these two have managed in 2 weeks to get all this fucking buzz on this match just by fucking Charlotte, you know, looking like she's a bitch and going into business herself. And then Stratton going, you know what? Fuck this. All right, let's do it. And now it's like, oh, there's fucking something, you know, going on, which is great. Oh, Ryan Bogart. Giving a shout out to good old Sin City there.
Bogart is Flair.
But does this make, you know, realistically, you look at it as, you know, Stratton is a little bit greener. So does this now bring that to the level of, oh, she is going to be competitive? Now you can believe that, you know, and that's the brilliance of the acting of wrestling, because now we're not just going to see a match and it's going to end and people are going to go, oh, Charlotte Flair just won that because, you know, blah 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 blah, or Tiffany won it because they're just putting her over on Charlotte to blah blah blah. Now you're going, I don't know who's going to fucking win this match.
Yeah.
Now, do you think they would change a result a week before if the tide changes big time. And they go, holy shit, look at the numbers on Tiffany Stratton. She's going to retain now. We don't want to take the chance.
Well, I honestly, I think that she retains regardless.
Mm.
I think she retains regardless.
I mean, look at those numbers.
Lord of mercy.
Oh, ooh. God.
Oof.
God bless you, Kaiser Wilhelm. God has blessed you.
Shit. Yeah, those are the only DMs he's in.
Yeah, oh, my God. Yeah, the D's and the M's.
Yeah, damn the needy ass.
This fucking man. Segment was good old train wreck for sure. It was good to see things actually spiral out of control. One thing that was pretty funny is you could actually see Wade Barrett actually stand up, like as if he was going to like try to get between them in case things actually did escalate. Yeah. So, you know, obviously where they went off script. There was some speculation that that Charlotte wasn't supposed to do the squeaky voice thing, and then it just kind of went out of control from there. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this match unfolds, and if it's just bowling shoe ugly, to steal a phrase, then yeah, man.
Nah, man, bowling shoes are coming back, man. If Charlotte Flair just keeps staying obnoxious, eventually people will like her.
Well, she keeps up with the fucking plastic surgery. Her face is going to look like a bowling shoe.
Hey, speaking of faces. Oh, wow, man. Last Monday, Jimmy Uso, speaking of looking like a bowling shoe. This thing that Gunther did was incredible. Now, this comes from Jimmy Choto Lion. So, this isn't the main event of either night of Mania, but they just made it the most important match of both nights of WrestleMania. That's how you use blood in modern wrestling, with emotion to enhance an already emotion-fueled moment and put it right over the edge instead of relying on the blood itself to create the moment as a whole, when instead just desensitizes people and it's a waste. Like the imagery alone, Jay and Gunther playing tug of war with Jimmy's body, and then Gunther holding the world heavyweight title while covered in Jimmy's blood, with Jay looking on the whole while his brother is bloody and unconscious mess at his feet. Tell me that doesn't make you feel something. I will call you a liar. Main event of either, not the main event of either night, but now hands down the single most important match at Mania this year. And tonight on Raw, Jay cut a fucking amazing promo, and it all started out with him saying, Gunther, do you have a mother?
Oh, that was the best.
It was fucking brilliant.
And he stopped them from yeeting. Every time they went to go yeet, he was like, he waves them off. Like, don't do it.
Yeah. And he also made Gunther go from that cocky smile on his face to the realization of what he fucking did to that woman's son, to that guy's brother. And it fucking hit. And it's interesting again, because that's the stories you need. And for people who were like, oh, this match, first guy, you know, they're not going to get the Mania moment, blah, blah, blah. They're not going to be in the main event, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah. And now, once again, you had Tiffy and Charlotte elevating theirs, and they're not getting the main event, and these guys are not getting the main event, and they're elevating their match, and now these are important matches. It's crazy.
There's two things I wanted, but if I would rank this, I'd give it an 8 out of 10. Like I consider this very high. The first thing I wanted, and again, I'll say this to everything. It's like the perfect seasoning. It's like Dano's seasoning. I want Jim Ross reactions, like classic Jim Ross reactions, because I want the announcer crying, oh, God, why are you doing it? No, no, he's playing it out. Let him go. A little bit more panic, but it's Michael Cole. You get what you get. And I know some people love him, but yeah. The other thing, though, was they timed it perfectly. The distance between them, where he bowling balls his head, he just could barely reach out and just reach for his head. That was perfect. The one thing I wanted tonight's part of it was 9 out of 10. I wanted him to be more arrogant on the front end, and I wanted Gunther to cut a promo on the front end and say something completely smug. That would have brought it full circle. where he says something smug, and then when it's I know he didn't.
Because when he walked out, what was he? Absolutely fucking smug.
He had the red tie. Said that. He had the red tie. He had the belt on. They did frame it. Michael Cole's like, I wonder why he's wearing the red tie. Yeah, yes. Fucking A. It's like a fucking 15-year-old high schooler commentating on these goddamn matches. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Did you watch fucking Dynamite? And listen to Shivani and his
nursing home ramble shit. Wait. Here's what I will say about that. Shivani has only one purpose in the annals of wrestling, and that is to sit there and hold a mic for Ric Flair and hold a mic for Britt Baker. That's his only purpose in life. When Shivani dies and goes to purgatory, he will be sitting in a room. It will be a power of the arena, and there'll be 10 pounds of gold. There'll be NWA. He's going to go, hey, what's going on here? In 1985, this is a hell of a year. And he's going to sit there, and he's in his purgatory will be to cut promos for the rest of his life, except it will be with Britt Baker. He'll go, where's Ric Flair? No, you don't get Ric Flair, asshole. You'll never get Ric Flair again. For the rest of your life, it's just Britt Baker crumpling up pieces of paper and throwing them at your head.
Oh, no. Shivani's going. The only person he's doing interviews with for eternity is Chris Benoit. All right.
Oh, God. And he'll have to make coffee. Like, he'll have to barista for people. No. I wanted him to say something smug. And then, as we say in comedy, a callback where he says something smug and then Jey Uso calls it back and throws it back at him. He did have the right response. He had what I call a politician response. When like a bunch of kids get shot up and then the politician has to answer for it. When some parent goes, man, if we didn't have no guns, and then the politician has to go. Or in other words, Ted Cruz face. Like when they, like when everyone froze to death in Texas. Ted Cruz face. Or, he had that look. He had this I want to cry look, but there was at the very end of that promo, he put his head down in shame, and I'm thinking,
but he took it away from him. The power was the words, "I'm not afraid of you anymore."
Oh yeah, that was good.
So it played well. We're just Scorsese-ing it right now. We're doing the director's cut of something that was fucking great. So
Uso and Cody Rhodes had this thing where they couldn't Cody couldn't do it without the lisp, and he acknowledged that, made fun of himself. Jay, I don't know what it was. He would have this nervous tic where he keeps smiling through promos. Like he would keep doing this weird smiling thing. And he calms himself down now when he's cutting a promo. He centers himself and he got real serious. And I do not want to ignore that every time they went to go yeet, he cut it off.
Yeah.
This is not funny. He cut it off. He kept it serious. He just elevated himself tonight to another level.
All right. Speaking of elevation, on SmackDown, we saw that Seth Rollins was having a ball, and he had a ball tonight on Raw as well. Now, after Raw, Seth is owed a favor by Paul Heyman, is what Seth told Heyman. Punk, said that he wants Heyman in his corner. There's a whole bunch of questions now on who does he, support. You're getting a great little play here. But what is really amazing is Cody Rhodes literally predicted Roman Reigns' future word for word. What felt like a promo turned out to be a prophecy. Cody Rhodes to Roman, after you lose those titles, Jay will leave you. Then Jimmy will leave you. Then Solo, who isn't ready, will leave you too. Then it will just be you and Paul Heyman, who will go back to being an advocate, not a wise man, a man with no more reins, a chief without a tribe. Cody Rhodes, March 20th, 2023. That's how far that these guys are fucking thinking in the future right now. That was said 2 fucking years ago. And it's played when Triple Edge said they were only in the third inning. Holy shit. Wow. What a callback. Now the question becomes this. 2013, Paul Heyman betrayed Punk for Brock Lesnar. 2022, he betrayed Brock for Roman. 2025, does he betray Roman for Seth?
Yes.
But
absolutely.
They're setting it up like that, but then that's too obvious. Unless something really, I don't know. I mean, when you put him with Seth Rollins, you usually put him with somebody who needs a mouthpiece. The way they framed it with CM Punk was, I'm a friend. And then a few times CM Punk said to him, I don't need you. He said that we're friends. I'm not a Paul Heyman guy. I don't need you. We're just friends. Okay. Roman Reigns can't talk to save his goddamn life. He can still barely cut a promo. He needs them. He gets them. Great. If you give it to an already charismatic guy, what does that look like?
A heel turn?
Yes, a heel turn. But
yeah,
of exactly. course. But I'm saying I tune into Raw the following Monday. Then the 21st, Raw. What do I get? The 28th, what do I get? What do
the
I get?
The explanation of why Paul Heyman turned his back on Roman and CM Punk.
Wait, no. What I'm saying is when he did it with Roman Reigns, we saw what was happening. Roman Reigns cutting promos. They come up with a good gimmick. They wrap it around. There's a family. There's this. There's that. Is he going to be the advocate? Is he going to be the lawyer? Is he going to be the attorney? Same thing. What is he going to be for this guy? That's my question.
His fluffer. I don't fucking know. I will know once it fucking happens and they explain it to me.
I don't know. You guys seem to know everything else about it. Yeah. Well, this is going to happen. And he's going to screw him over. And then, so what's the angle? Well, fuck, I don't know the angle. Who gives a shit about the angle?
Angle retired when he lost to Baron Corbin, man.
Oh, God. Angle lost all of his points on the Isle of Relevancy when he lost to that fool.
Grande Americano's fucking entrance music is just fucking bitching as fucking hell. That character is great. And he's going to wrestle Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania. Phoenix debuted against Nathan Frazier in one hell of a great match for a debut. It was perfectly done with the right person in mind. And we also got a setup. Trinity said to Jade on social media, I'm from Florida. I've survived hurricanes. You think I'm scared of a little storm, Jade Cargo? Ooh. Those two gonna go at it.
You know, you didn't have to do it in that voice.
Rob, get the fucking lotion ready.
Oh, my God. One's already depleted. The left side's gone. Just shooting blood right now. A blood storm is coming. Works on so many levels.
Exactly.
And I want them to work me on so many levels. Hanging with my brother and he goes, right. No, brother Bobby's got something here. Let's look at this Jade Cargo. Your wife is in the next room. Dressed. Oh God. Oh, you know, it was my brother went from black to white now. So, you know, he looks more like me now. Just drain the melanin right out of him.
Jesus. Like yeah. With you in the room. I'm so confused right now.
It was a family affair.
Oh, my God.
The people who come together stay together, especially over Jade Cargill. And that's why we've booked her on AEW All In 2025, 26, and 27. Jade is an integral part of our AEW WWE family, and it's going to be a pleasure to have her. And Tony Schiavone will be there with smart Mark Sterling to get her. As soon as her match is over, we'll be rebooking her immediately to be part of All In at Wembley Stadium 2023.
Hey, Shivani, my kid needs some coffee. Go get it.
You know, that's one hell of a cup.
All right. NXT, man. Here he is. Ricky fucking Saints, the new North American champion, beat ex-AEW superstar Sean Spears for the title. and then was attacked by XAEW superstar Ethan Page, in which it looks like we're going to have a North American Championship at Stand and Deliver. Oh, man. Man, here's the thing.
Good to see Ricky Saints getting his signing bonus. You know, his token championship reign that everybody that defects from AEW to WWE seems to get, strangely enough.
But, I mean, does that mean that Dom is going to go to AEW?
Dude, if Dom goes to AEW, he's easily the top star there right now.
Pretty much.
You know, like one weekend, you know, Dom, yeah, they tell me you want my belt. Oh, man. Oh, my God, Dom. I've only seen you for 10 minutes, man, but this is going to be ridiculous, man. We're going to fucking destroy you, man. It's going to happen in every inch of this ring, man. And then we're going to play Wild Thing over your bloody body.
But you know what's interesting? As I was watching the match, what got me is this. Very simple. Ethan Page, Ricky Saints, and I hate to even fucking say it, but Sean Spears. Where was this personality in these guys in terms of the whole, you know, the whole time they were in AEW? They just couldn't find how to bring it, what these guys actually have, to the forefront. And is it because guys like Moxley and Jericho, the guys who keep, you know, Moxley's been the champ 4 fucking times, but there is no proven record that he equals ratings.
Right.
Because you haven't grown your audience. You know, when Punk was there, he was the champion. Jericho has been champ. All these guys who are old faces are the ones who are getting the belt, except for Swerve and MJF in a cup of coffee for those times. It looks like, you know, hopefully Ospreay will, but how long will that last before you have to give it to Daniel Bryan when he comes back?
This is a George Steinbrenner methodology. What the Yankees win 27 times and they go, well, that's because you bought your talent. And in the late 90s, all of these farm system guys win, and then George Steinbrenner reverts back to the way he was and gets Jason Giambi, and he gets Jose Canseco for a season. He starts buying players again, and they go through this losing streak for about 10 years, 11 years. And it's like, oh, no, 8 years. And you go, all right, well, you have these homegrown talent, and they have mic skills. You've got Sammy Guevara. He's got mic skills, and he can wrestle. He's been relegated to the back of the aisle. You have all these people who have ability, and they don't use them because their logic is, if I have all these ace WWE guys, these guys will be enough to draw talent, but they never learned.
No, I think you're overthinking it. It's more simple than that. These guys know how to play Tony Khan, because it's not just Moxley and the X guys. It's also the Bucks and Omega. Omega. That match did not need to happen. Well, you should have had a one-on-one match with someone a little lower down, because you just put Ricochet and fucking Mike Bailey, who's your new guy, in a match that Omega didn't have to get pinned to lose that title. So you could have done this match in 6 months and had Ricochet win the championship, or even Speedwell win the championship. No one
they have to unify the titles first.
And that's the thing that gets me, because then we have Okada walk out, get in the ring for the dumbest stare down in the history of wrestling, because Omega looks at him, sighs, and just leaves. And then Okada standing there as if like, okay, what do I do now? I'll go leave. And then turns around at the entrance like he wants to go back out to the ring again. It added fucking 10 minutes to a show that was already 9 hours for no reason, that you could have done it on Dynamite the next fucking
week. I cut the best promos, bitch. Is that the new thing? They all say bitch at the end. How many of them say bitch at the end? Okada does it. Rhodes does it. Yeah, he does that too.
Even this guy, Bret Hart, speaking of WWE Hall of Famer Bret Hart, says AEW stars are mostly actors trying to pretend to be wrestlers during an interview with Ariel Helwani. WWE Hall of Famer Bret Hart gave his thoughts on modern wrestling product. He had to say, I find in a lot of wrestlers, and I won't necessarily name anybody, but I find that the wrestlers are more actors pretending to be wrestlers today than actual wrestlers. I miss the ruggedness of the characters. I think that's why I still think the 90s was the best era of wrestling. I find today's wrestling, it's a little bit more about promos and your character on a TV and not so much your work rate. I like guys that throw back a little bit more to the work rate. Roman Reigns is a guy that I think tries really hard to earn the respect of my generation. AEW, I find that they're mostly actors trying to pretend to be wrestlers, get on with the real wrestling, and just quit acting so much. He also had to say, that no wrestlers today want to be like Hulk Hogan, but everyone wants to be him. You know, I heard like something a few months ago where Hulk Hogan was talking about me and he said, the problem with Bret Hart is that he really does think he was the greatest wrestler of all time. I remember thinking about that and going, yeah, maybe that's might be the most truthful thing he's ever said. When you watch the wrestlers today, you don't see anybody imitating Hulk Hogan. You see a lot of wrestlers today really trying their best to capture my style or some of the guys that I worked with, like Dominic Kidd or Kurt Hennig or my brother Owen. So in two different interviews this week, one, he says that they're actors pretending to be wrestlers. And two, he says they're wrestlers trying to be him.
Yep.
No, yeah, he's not that arrogant.
That, but the thing is that kills me is, so the knock on AEW is, okay, they're a work rate based promotion and right, they don't have any characters. They don't develop characters. They don't do storylines. And so
what is he watching?
Bret Hart is saying that they're actors trying to be pro wrestlers. Which one is it? That, it sounds like he's wanting them to lean in even more to the work rate stuff without having characters, which, as we all know, doesn't fucking work. It doesn't fucking work.
I think we know, Steve, what he really wants, and that is this picture to be true, yep, where he becomes the AEW champion. And I don't think we're too far off from Tony maybe even trying to do that, which would be...
So here's what's going to happen. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to have the match. Then, for whatever the reason, Audrey Edwards is going to get knocked unconscious. Brian Hebner is going to run down to the ring. And then all of a sudden, there's going to be a briefcase with a contract in it. And Shawn Michaels is going to come and super kick him. And then put him in a sharpshooter, a poorly executed sharpshooter. And he's going to lose.
Okay. So a little bit more on AEW really quick. Friend of the show, Rob Van Dam, right there with Katie Forbes and the crew from Boulder Highway there at Boulder Station. Yeah, a little throwback to 2019. RVD said, now, I didn't bash AEW. I wouldn't bash AEW. And it seems to me by far the worst part about AEW, and I hope this quote gets picked up, is the fans on IWC. The fans are so ignorant. Here's what I said. I'm going to say it again. So if it hurt to hear it the first time, you're going to hear it again. I'm going to tell you what I did say. My whole career in ECW, even before that, the matches that Sabu taught me were garbage matches, which included all the weapons and gore and had wrestlers that didn't even have to know how to wrestle be in the match. Those have always been the bottom of the list of my favorite matches. That's my opinion. If you don't think I have a right to say that because I was in ECW, so here's the thing. Those matches, especially the ones that have like thumbtacks, glass, fire, fish hooks, and when they have the competitors in there that don't do a single wrestling move and they don't even have to know how to wrestle, quote, to me, that's not wrestling. The more AEW does that, does things like that, like the John Moxley spike bat thing. And I think that they're heading in that direction more. I think WWE is heading into more like old school WWE storytelling in the ring and less of a let's stick a knife through someone's cheek, burn their house down, go for shock value. The more they seem to be two separate styles which I'm fine with. The more I personally would rather have RVD, the wrestler associated with WWE. Now, if you heard that and you still felt like I'm bashing AEW, you need to check yourself. You're way too defensive, because I'm not. I'm not even bashing that spot. I don't like that spot, but the people don't understand. The fans are so challenged that they hit me with things like, well, if you did that stuff and you're saying you don't like it, you're a hypocrite. That's not what hypocrite is. You know what? I don't like to be in mixed tag matches, but I did them. Does that make me a hypocrite? He nailed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Even though he was so prominent in ECW, if you look back at it, the most that he ever used in ECW was a chair, a ladder, a table. Yeah. He never got down with barbed wire, thumbtacks, with any of that kind of stuff. Yeah, he used trash cans and stuff like that. But I mean, nothing that was over the top or egregious. So, yeah. You know, this was completely, I don't want to say predictable, but it was completely on brand for Rob Van Dam. Mm-hmm. And people can have preferences. That's what this whole shit is about. You know, you guys like different stuff than I do. I like different stuff than you do. But at the end of the day, it's professional wrestling. Where I think that there is a bit of hyperbole in there is saying that things are going a particular route, which, you know, the nail bat spot was something that had been teased for the longest time. And yes, they did it. Will they ever do it again? Probably not, to be honest. I hope not. But realistically, at the end of the day, this is completely on brand and is, you know, I don't think that ECW is going to a CZW type of an atmosphere on an every show basis. At least I genuinely hope not.
No, but we did see, again, we saw Mariah May's match with Toni Storm and the Ospreay Fletcher cage match. And then you had the bat spot. So you had three brutal things happening within, a 1 week period.
And so, notice we didn't have any weapons matches on Dynasty, by the way. There were no matches that used weapons in those
people you mentioned, they can wrestle.
Wait a minute. That Chris Jericho used a baseball bat, Steve.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
But those people can, minus Jericho now. Toni Storm can wrestle. Ospreay can wrestle. Yeah. You know, all those people can wrestle. They can produce. They're doing a better job. AEW's problem as of late is good matches, good show, followed up by a colossally garbage main event, which is like taking a shit on Breyer's ice cream.
Yeah, or maybe just they need better actors in their acting company. All right, Steve, your AEW over under.
So obviously we've talked about Dynasty tonight, and the next AEW pay-per-view is actually 7 weeks. They have 7 weeks of build. So that leads me to this. We know these matches will be at Double or Nothing. We know that the finals of the two Owen Hart tournament matches, those will be at Double or Nothing. Outside of that, we really don't know what's going to happen. You figure that they'll give some sort of clarity on the Moxley match, whoever he's going to be defending the title against. So right there, we'll say three. AEW's big fatal flaw, as far as I'm concerned, is not building the matches early, or at least announcing the matches early, setting things into motion early so that they can build those matches up. They have seven weeks of TV time that they can use to prove to everybody that wants to spend their $50 or whatever it is, that it's not a lame duck pay-per-view. Because guess what? After Double or Nothing, the next show is All in July. Right. So realistically, you got to figure they have to book for Double or Nothing in Phoenix, but they also have to book ahead to All In. So how are they going to prove that it's not a lame duck pay-per-view? Traditionally, AEW has not done well with setting things into motion early, which is why I'm saying that the over-under for this week, by the end of AEW Dynamite on Wednesday, we will know three matches that will be possibly on the show. They will not set anything else into motion for Double or Nothing outside of the two final matches for the Owen Hart tournaments and whatever match that John Moxley, the world champion, is going to be in. And to be honest, they probably might not even say anything to do with that because they don't like to set stories into motion and they don't like to build until 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks before their pay-per-view.
Okay, there we go. All right, social media dump time. Remember, Busted Open is going to be doing a live taping at Circa on Thursday, April 17th, if you're in Vegas for WrestleMania weekend. Also, Live in Color is going to be performing on Fremont Street the night before WrestleMania. So that would be on the 18th, Friday the 18th. And the Bella Twins taking over Hooters Saloon. Don't miss your chance to meet the legendary Nikki Bella and Brie Bella in person Saturday, April 19th from 3 to 5 p.m. Snap a photo, grab an autograph, and sip on their signature. I'm sorry. I was thinking of sipping on their signature.
Yeah. Sweet wine. It's such sweet wine.
But you can catch them at the Oyo at Hooters.
What a lovely bouquet.
Speaking of our beautiful city, Little Darlings, the wonderful strip club, has this wonderful sign that says, "Due to the economy, 69 will now be 96. The cost of eating out has gone up." And again, I make empires for billionaires. All you ever done is steal money from their kids. Cena the Cody has the AEW nerds on the computer wasting away there. Beautiful thing there. Oh, look, Bullet Club reference. Bang, bang. What could that mean? Internet go crazy for the bang, bang and Cody Rhodes. I'm telling you. Omega shows up at WrestleMania to help him. That's what I'm getting. Hey, just a bunch of overrated, 100% overrated phony boy band that was manufactured and went through phases. Oh, we're hippies. Now we're psychedelic now. Fuck you, Sergeant Pepper. CM Punk referring to the Beatles. CM Punk, go to sleep. But again, Steve, Rob, look in my eyes. What do you see? Oh, the cult of personality, huh? Look at that. Woo! Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Randy Orton, speaking nutting, Randy Orton, I grabbed a jar of Nutella from the catering service and ate the whole thing before my match against Gunther at King of the Ring. I left the jar empty and probably gained 4 kilos that night. I was sugared up to the bones. I've been eating a lot of Nutella. I'm on a sponsorship deal with Nutella. Hey, Nutella, let's do a sponsorship. Source Cody Rhodes podcast. Oh, boy. Hey, the ghost of my house after he walked into my bathroom only to find me checking my butthole in the mirror.
Jeez.
Speaking of buttholes, I'd like to check out. Hey, look at that. Oh, Harley. How you doing, Harley?
Oh, my God.
Oh, or
I want to go down under.
Oh, Megan Bain's butthole. Yeah. And of course, that butthole, Mandy. Oh, Mandy. You know, that makes me want to be part of the Nation of Masturbation.
You're not already?
Apparently, your brother and you haven't invited me to the party. So, because we'll all have to watch WrestleMania together.
You know, it's not masturbating when it's Jade Cargill. It's just, spastic movements. Like a cannon going off. It's just, it's like Scream 1.
Hey, Scream
Movie 1.
We just celebrated the anniversary of March 31st, 1985 of WrestleMania. It was 40 years ago. Of course, Mr. T in the main event with Hulk Hogan, Liberace there, also Muhammad Ali. And speaking of Mr. T, we had Mr. T, Ice Cube, and Ice-T all together drinking some Lipton there, it looks like. Hey, did you guys ever see the picture from WrestleMania 2 of the Funk Brothers with the APA? Because it's right there.
Oh, man.
Wow. Well, let's go back. Her, you smell so good. What are you wearing? WWF Attitude Cologne for Men. Oh, that was a good one back in the day. I miss those days of smelling like a ring. SmackDown 2025, you got 16,000 packed into the old Rosemont Horizon in Chicago. Stone Cold turns on the USA Network gimmick and sees Tiffy Time call you the Barry Horowitz of getting hitched. She hauls ass like the check's coming, and I'm thinking, God damn, are we working or shooting? Oh, shit. Fun fact, if you look closely, you'll see here, on this picture right here, that Sean Waltman, the 123 kid, has his eyebrows shaved off. Sean Waltman had been partying with the late Kurt Hennig and the Smoking Guns, Billy and Bart Gunn. And when Sean had passed out, one of them shaved off one of Sean Waltman's eyebrows as a prank right before a photo shoot for the 123 kid's action figure. Sean Waltman couldn't go into the photo shoot with just one eyebrow, so he went ahead and shaved the other eyebrow as well. Mr. Perfect was the man behind the eyebrow, but Sean Waltman didn't know it, and he mistakenly believed it was the Smoking Guns. So, as an act of revenge, Waltman super glued the brims of their hats before they went out to the ring to wrestle. Kevin Nash saw him doing this prank on the Smoking Guns and respected how brave he was, which resulted in Nash deciding to invite Waltman to ride with the Click that night. That's how he became a member of the Click. So it all goes back to the 123 kid action figure and his non-eyebrows. Matt Hardy recalling a wild gift he received from a fan during his initial WWE run. There was a young lady who sent me a vial of her blood, and it wasn't small. It was a big vial of her blood. She said in the note, I need you to take this blood, put it in a syringe, and put it into your own blood vessels. She said, and if you put my blood into your blood vessels, then give me a vial of yours. This is my return address. She said, we'll always be linked. We can always feel one another.
Bitches be crazy.
No, Rob and I just did that the other day.
That explains a lot.
Wow. I'm so honored.
Dom is a slut. That's the sign that Rhea Ripley is holding. And then we're seeing the back
end of that sign.
Speaking of Rhea Ripley, I don't know if you guys know, she showed up at the Performance Center recently, and I got a chance to teach some of the kids, and also took this picture with Shawn Michaels.
Jesus.
And that's Marilyn Manson and Iggy Pop, for those of you who don't know. Okay, so here's one of the biggest stories in wrestling. WWE leadership under fire after adding Dave Meltzer to top secret WrestleMania planning signal chat. The Helmsley administration is scrambling to explain how long time wrestling journalist Dave Meltzer was added unnoticed to his top secret group chat on messaging app Signal, in which WWE brass planned WrestleMania. Meltzer silently observed the group chat titled WM Planning Small Group, while WWE's top executives discussed the winners, losers, and big surprises of the upcoming WrestleMania event in Las Vegas. Then, when WWE brass tried to deny the leak, Meltzer published an excerpt of the conversation between WWE executive Paul Levesque and Road Dogg, Nick Khan, and Stephanie McMahon. Triple H, I decided Cena wins clean. 8 minutes max. Nick K, smart. Fans will hate it. Steph, two strong arms and a prayer emoji. Road Dogg, how much screen time will Travis Scott have? Triple H, so much. 30-minute concert, plus he attacks Cody four times in the main event. Nikki K said, and tickets are so expensive. USA, USA. Spoiler alert, Kayfabe News has obtained the full 82-page transcript of the Signal chat. Check at your discretion. And that leads us to presidential pontification.
You know, today we had a very special day in the ring, and it was a hardening the likes have never seen before. where we had little Io Sky and Bianca and her Belairs and Rhea and her Ripleys. And you know what, Rhea? I do like you. We like you a lot. You've done so much for so many people. And we do like Bianca Belair, even though she's a DEI hire. But Io Sky, me love you long time. Me love you long time. And you've given me so many happy endings. It's billions and billions and billions of happy endings. And I think that when you win WrestleMania night one, because, you know, you're not going to get to go on night two. That's for the big boys. That's where the men wrestle, is night two. But on night one, when you wrestle in the middle of the card so people can take a shit and get concessions, I will be waiting, and we will have the Trump Force One, the plane, not the counts. And it will be a night like never before. You will get to party with the president, and we will make your little Japanese pussy great again. We're looking forward to it. And, you know, they call me Shinzo Abe because my shin's so good. That's what they say. They said that. Right? They go, Trump-sama. They call me Trump-sama. Trump-sama. Shin so good. And it's going to be so good. So good. We're looking forward to having you on the plane and having you take a ride with your president, your best president, okay? President Sama, Donald Trump, okay? Arigato. Domo arigato.
Oh, it makes me want to join the nation of masturbation so much. Look into my eyes. What do you see? Oh, boy.
A banana.
Excuse me.
It's a plantain.
There was our own presidential candidate there, the president of the United States, Rob Ossolari. A week ago, Rob, you were on stage. What happened to you on stage that magical night?
You want to know the truth? I lost a big fat gay guy who was black, big fat black gay guy. And yeah, he made me eat a dick. That's exactly what happened. All right. They gave him a fucking 3-foot hard trophy and a check for $800. And I got to sit in the corner and drink. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I have to ask all of you, you were so great for Collision. How many of you had been to AEW before tonight? Were any of you at our very first show, Double Nothing? Were any of you here at AEW for the first time ever tonight? Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah!
Okay, awesome. Well, we've had a great night of AEW wrestling, and because I love wrestling, I love Las Vegas so much, we finished a great AEW Collision. We just did a great 2 hours, and now we still have some of the top wrestlers, some of the top women and men.
Well, apparently, Tony is still talking at the Virgin Hotel.
There's one thing I hate in life, and that's fucking surveys. How many of you have been AEW on a scale of 1 to 10? Please give us your experience. How many times was this your first time? I hate surveys. And I also hate shitty comics. And I'm not the greatest comic, but I certainly don't like Tony Hinchcliffe going on Raw and going, Michael Cole, you're stiffer than Biggie's neck. That was really bad, and they both groaned when he said it. That was just cringy. And you know what? You know, I can end up on one of your fucking stages, your Kill Tony stages. I don't give a fuck. That was just bad. That was just wasn't even funny. It wasn't even a good premise for a joke.
So you're like talking, so you're telling me, you basically, now within a week's time, not only lost to a big, hard, black gay comedian, but also got offended by a comedian talking about a big, stiff, hard, black man on Raw.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Oh, my God. All right. So, Rob, where are you going to be?
I'm going to be trying to get my ass on the strip this week. Look for me possibly soon at LA Comedy Club. I'm going to try to weasel my way in up there. And this year, my goal, and you will see me. They don't know it yet, but you will see me at Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club. They don't know it yet, but you know it. And I set my mind, and I'm going to get it. So LA Comedy Club soon, few days. Jimmy Kimmel's soon, within a month or two. It's going to happen. I'm pointing to it like the WWE sign, like the WrestleMania sign. I'm pointing to it. I want my Jimmy Kimmel's moment.
I don't know. That seemed like you were pointing a gun towards Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club. So everyone watch out. Unhinged comic Rob Bossolari.
Oh, shit.
You know what? Everyone fucks up my last name, but you seem somehow know how to say it perfectly. Rob Bossolari, 5'7", sometimes dresses up like Donald Trump's going to be pointing a gun over there at the link. So just be on the lookout. If you see a guy, chalky skin, but with like orange makeup, tackle his ass at the front door.
He looks like if Gilbert Gottfried was doing an impersonation of Donald Trump.
Oh, how is it that they let all of these Puerto Ricans in? And the Cubans. Oh, we got to deport the Cubans. They don't like me anymore. And the Venezuelans, too. How many filthy Venezuelans do we have to let in this country?
Hey, Steve, what do you got to say?
Oh, my God. He wants
to talk about rep sports and pee-pee.
That's right.
Pee-pee.
That's right. First things first, though, happy early birthday to our boy Scoop, friend of the show. We appreciate you, brother. And speaking of that, thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, you got it right, Rob. Repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 15%.
There you go. And it is going to be heading into WrestleMania week. So, a lot of stuff going on. Paulie Cover here, who used to be the commissioner of FSW, worked for a radio station online, compiled a list of something like, I believe, 72 shows that are going on between that Wednesday and that Wednesday, essentially.
It's more wrestling than your body has room for.
Quite literally.
Yeah, it's going to be a fuck ton of matches.
I know. I just got done buying tickets for a lot of those shows, and I'm seeing two shows, sometimes three shows a day that entire week. It's going to be nuts. So props to people who are working it, both in production. And I know that our boy Scoop, who I just mentioned, is an amazing photographer. He's going to be working his ass off that week. And obviously all of the talents that are going to be here in town.
And if you need transportation to any of these events, look up Daryl on his social media. He'll be happy to pick you up. He'll be driving.
Or if you need a little release, like Rob was talking about earlier in the show with his brother, Daryl will gladly give you the DJ Impact microphone.
He'll be showing his impact. Yeah. Now if you want, he can go into costume. He'll put on a Jade Cargill Storm wig. You know, they're both black. It's close as you're gonna get, you know.
As long as he's wearing the white fuzzy slippers.
Yeah, he'll wear the slippers and it'll do.
DJ, I'm back in the booth so fine. White fuzzy slippers on the low-key rhyme. Spinning records till the break of dawn. And those slippers, he got it going on. Soft beats and faders never miss. In the booth, he's bringing bliss. White fuzz keeps him on track. Every beat, he's got your back. Oh, DJ, Impact, feel the vibe.
White fuzzy slippers every time. Grooving smooth, no fuss, no fight. In the lights, feel it right.
The last picture, he looks so sad. The last picture, he looks so sad. He looks happy when he saw Allie, though.
Yeah, well, you know, who isn't happy when they saw Allie? Remember when she was in AEW? I don't.
Oh, no, she was the bunny.
That's right.
She was the bunny, and she did nothing. She put on a dollar store bunny mask and did nothing.
Speaking of, you know, Allie was in TNA, and TNA is going to be here on Thursday, the 17th. I'm going to be at Cox Pavilion, and I'm going to put it out there now. Anyone listening, if you're coming into town and you're thinking about you want to go to TNA, reach out to the Bad Boys here. And maybe, just maybe, we might have a pair of tickets for you to catch Impact Wrestling, and you'll be able to sit right next to Sin City Steve and ask him all the questions you want about wrestling and relationships, general math. He's very good at general math. Very general math, though. I'm talking like 2 + 2.
So what is wrong? Hold on. If 2 + 2 = 4, what about 2 × 2?
Hey, man, that's above my pay grade.
Okay.
Simple.
But yeah, we'll probably
have. Don't worry, the president will be there, and I'll answer all of your questions. Nobody knows about math better than me. So many people said to me, "Thank you for making me more wealthier and richer than, quite honestly, you've ever been before." And I'll be there live, in full suit. It's going to be wonderful.
It's going to be all right. Definitely reach out to us. I think we'll have at least one pair of tickets available if you want to.
So that's like a 15,000 man arena. If they fill that up, that's actually really fucking impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, everything reserved is sold. Right. The only shit that's left is GA.
Jesus. Right. That means they're like, again, this is scary. They're outpacing AEW when you see some of these big pay-per-views. It's getting frightening.
No, it's
in a good way.
It's not set up for 15, Rob. It's going to set up for probably, like, I would assume 3.
I was going to say between 3 and 5.
You think they're going to like draw that little curtain across and section it off? Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to be hopeful there that, you know, because imagine they filled that whole fucking, because people from Cox Pavilion is big.
Oh, yeah.
I would love, I mean, they used to go to the Orleans and fill up the Orleans, and that's 10,000 seats.
No, that they, oh, Rob, you're so young and naive. Or as brother BKL says, congratulations, Rob, you stupid.
You stupid.
Oh, my Lord.
He's got nothing. Oh, he's got nothing.
I just don't know what I'm going to say about that, you know.
Oh, man.
I'm playing Forge of Empires at this point.
They held back on a lot of what they could do.
Yeah, they definitely did tonight. Especially Rob. He held back. He was edging the whole show. And
my wallpaper is Jade Cargill. Don't worry. As soon as the camera goes off, you know, wax on, wax a lot off, you know?
I'm not surprised. Man.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I feel like we've nutted the hell out of this show. So at this point, we're going to call it a night. Join us next week.
And by the way, you know, Jimmy's like all crippled now. So if you need a real man, Naomi, you know, right here, he's all bloodied up, you know.
Did you just say Jimmy Kimmel's all bloodied up? Oh, boy. Oh, watch out. Everyone, watch out. Rob Bossolari, if you see Gilbert Gottfried.
I'm going to wake up. There's going to be fucking SWAT teams outside of my house. That fucking lib will do it. He'll find out about it. He'll be crying the next night on fucking Jimmy Kimmel Live, and I'll be arrested. Okay? And I'm going to tell them when they arrest me, you can do whatever you want, but I paid for those fucking WrestleMania tickets. So I'm either getting my money back and some, and a little bit more for the lawyer, or you could fucking, you know, escort me to WrestleMania, you fucks. I don't give a shit. I'm going to Mania.
There you go. Rob's going to Mania.
Yeah.
With a gun, apparently. So everyone watch out. Bullet Club going to be at WrestleMania.
Jesus.
Aerosmith said it best.
Excuse me. Tell Jade Cargill that I'm fully loaded. I think that's another pay-per-view. And people will pay a lot to view me banging you. Believe me. Believe me.
Oh, my God. Well, with that image in all our heads, thank you for hanging out with us, everybody, tonight. It's been fun, but we now have gotten to the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, brother Contreras, I'm hate my life. Good luck at Strip City, Rob, and don't get rub. I, you know, I don't know what that means, but if I get the rub, it'll be at the end of a 1 hour session from a questionable Asian woman.
Io Sky.
Oh, with that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will, we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mics glowing in the desert nights. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Bucciarelli dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.